a little ray of hope on the horizon, is there? Later today, the new Secretary of State, Karen Bradley, is holding a press conference where she's expected to announce the resumption of talks up at Stormont. This time round, it's thought they'll involve all five main parties, as well as the UK and Irish governments. Let me speak to former Sinn Féin MLA and indeed political commentator now, Dathi Mackay. Dathi, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
So why now, Dathi? Is this just showing a bit of respect for the new gun in town?
Yeah, I think that the new Secretary of State obviously wants to, she's now got her feet under the desk and wants to show what she's made of, essentially. But the problem is, if she continues down the same route as James Brokenshire, you may as well be watching Groundhog Day and the same process again and again and the same outcome again and again, more stalemate. So I think the challenge for her is to take a different approach from her predecessor. And also in terms of nationalists, I think they would want to see a stronger involvement of the Irish government too.
The electorate, those who are sort of listening to radio, reading newspapers, watching it on the TV, getting very fed up with this.
I think there is a lot of that, and every week we see examples of decisions that can't be made because the executive are not up and running. I mean, there was one earlier this week in terms of compensation for those affected by the floods in the Sperrins. There was another in terms of a new greenway in Derry, and you know, I could list the examples all morning. But as well as that, there is a increasingly disengaged nationalist electorate, and certainly the leaked boundary proposals for the new constituencies yesterday will help reinforce that nationalist disengagement, because there is a view that the DUP are very much getting their way with the Tories, and that is something that the new Secretary of State will have to try and address. I don't know if she can, to be honest.
And you know, the gerrymandering word came up yesterday. Is it as bad as that, in your opinion?
Well, it's the most radical change from the first draft to the second draft that I've seen in terms of a boundary proposal from a boundary commission. And the original proposal would have seen probably Sinn Féin become the largest party over a period of time. That has been stopped firmly in its tracks. And it's just interesting that if you look at certain constituencies, such as South Belfast, North Belfast, Upper Ban, and indeed Causeway, that is going to replace the previously proposed Dalriada, or rather the Glensheen constituency, that they all perfectly suit the DUP. So there will be a thought process amongst many nationalists that the Commission may have taken a decision that they wanted to put forward proposals that would actually get the backing of the DUP in Westminster, because there are a lot of Tory backbenchers that want to shut down the entire Boundary Commission proposals from across all jurisdictions.
So yet another problem for Sinn Féin going into the talks. And unless someone blinks, unless someone moves, Sinn Féin or DUP, you can have all the parties and representatives from the UK and Irish governments, but you need Sinn Féin and the DUP, you need one or other to step back, to step down, to blink, to show that they're prepared to be more flexible than they have been. Are either of those parties going to show that in any of these talks that are forthcoming?
I don't know, unless either party get the impression that there is going to be the prospect of a deal. Now, certainly in terms of the mood music, I mean, both parties do want to have a deal. They do want to be back into the Assembly, and certainly anybody who watched the interview with John O'Dowd and Edmund Putz last week in regards to the Kingsmills issues would have been encouraged by that exchange, very much so. But, you know, the mood and the relationships between the parties is one thing. A completely separate matter is the substance of the talks and the issues. And the main issues are marriage equality, the Irish Language Act, and legacy issues in terms of nationalism. And I really don't know how all those circles are going to be squared within what the Secretary of State is proposing to be a very short, sharp negotiation process. And of course, the Westerham by-election will now also form the background to these talks too.
And Michelle O'Neill continues to remind us that she's concerned about the impartiality of Karen Bradley.
Yes, and that's entirely understandable, because Cairns Prime Minister and her cabinet are in a deal with the Democratic Unionist Party. Now, Republicans would never have viewed the Secretary of State as being impartial anyway, but I think this makes things considerably worse. And the only way that the Secretary of State can help to address that in any way is by bringing a more level involvement of the Dublin government, who are more aligned with the Nationalist Party, certainly in terms of the Brexit issue, which is also important in the next few months as well. So, like I say, it's down to her to make it clear from the outset that her approach is going to be radically different from James Brokenshire, because if she does not do that, the Nationalists will very soon get the impression that it's more of the same old, same old.
Obviously, budget is pressing, so do you see an executive being formed in the next month or so?
I don't, to be short and sweet about it. I mean, obviously, we would all like to see the departments get back up and running again, because there are so many decisions in regard to local communities that are resulting in communities suffering. I mean, none of us can ignore that. So I think that the format of the talks is something that has been wrong from the start. I mean, certainly, if the Secretary of State does bring a more level involvement of the Irish government, if there's going to be critical talks, they need to be chaired by somebody independent. And that was something that James Brokenshire set his face against for whatever reason, I don't know, because right from the outset of the peace process, we've had independent mediators such as George Mitchell, so I do not see why that needs to be a sticking point. That's an easy hurdle to get over, and perhaps when we get over that hurdle, we can start to make some progress.
So what form of direct rule are we going to have then? All-out direct rule, utterly-butterly direct rule, can't believe it's not direct rule light? What sort of direct rule will it be?
Well, it's limbo at the moment, and limbo could continue for another few months, the way things are going. But certainly, Nationalists will point to the St Andrews Agreement, in that if the Assembly is not properly functioning, then there should be a meaningful input from the Dublin government to what replaces the Assembly, if that is what the future is going to be. And I think that's quite fair, given the demographics that we have in the North now, which is pretty level and mixed to a degree that we haven't seen before. So I think that I don't think the Tories or the Secretary of State are going to necessarily entertain that. But if we do end up in that situation, then Nationalists will point to it as another example of how the government in Westminster are not living up to past agreements and, in essence, digs a bigger hole for us all to get out of to get the Assembly restored again.
OK, Dathi Mackay, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you. It's the former Sinn Féin MLA, Dathi Mackay. Former DUP MLA is Nelson McCausland. He's available to speak to us. Nelson McCausland, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Do you see any sign of an executive being formed?
An executive could be formed, and indeed in the past Arlene Foster has set out on behalf of unionism the way in which that could be done by re-establishing an executive and then dealing with other issues in parallel with that. That was rejected by Sinn Féin. But I would have to say that having listened there to Dathi Mackay and having listened to other folk over the past number of weeks and months, people who are currently the leadership of Sinn Féin, I'm not overly optimistic. There is still a holding to key issues, and Dathi identified them there around the Irish language, around the redefinition of marriage, and around legacy issues. And how you get to a point of agreement quickly on that, I just do not see how that can happen. I think the situation has also been made somewhat more difficult by the whole Barry Michael Duff episode, which has reopened a lot of discussion around the past and around the troubles. And since Sinn Féin have made legacy issues one of their key issues, the Barry Michael Duff episode, that the whole King's Mill massacre, whether attacks in the past were sectarian and shameful, all of that discussion I think needs to be worked through, because there is a real concern within unionism about a rewriting of the past and a rewriting of the Troubles.
So yeah. Is the Secretary of State then wasting her time by having this press conference this afternoon and saying that there'll be talks between all five main parties in the UK and Irish governments? You could talk round and round and round and round in circles, but it depends on the next move from Sinn Féin or the DUP.
Well, I think with a new Secretary of State, it's absolutely incumbent upon her to make a further effort. It may be a final effort at this stage, but to certainly make a further effort to re-establish devolution. There is a widespread view across Northern Ireland that devolution is a better form of government than direct rule. There are decisions to be made. We've had a year now without a devolved government. Decisions that need to be taken are just increasing day by day. And that's, after a year, that position becomes untenable, becomes unsustainable. So therefore, it's incumbent on her to have a further attempt. With a new Secretary of State, there may be a slightly different or somewhat different dynamic. The structuring of the talks, all of these things will play into it. But I think it's important that she makes that effort.
Do you get a feeling going in from January towards February that there might be a hint of optimism, or maybe I should phrase this in a different way, we should be searching for hints of optimism as opposed to being cynical and critical of all of those involved? Because frustration is the capital F word.
There is a frustration, and I think there's probably a frustration as well within political parties. The fact is that of the five main political parties, I think four parties would go back into an executive now. The one party that stands out is Sinn Féin.
Yes, but the very fact that you phrase it like that, that reminds us of why the DUP and Sinn Féin are at loggerheads.
Well, it's simply a fact. I think there is a distinction there where one party out of the five parties is resisting the restoration of devolution by drawing red lines. It was Sinn Féin that collapsed the Assembly. It was Sinn Féin that forced the election. And they are attempting to secure advantages and gains for their particular perspective through pressing, coercing others to succumb in order to get an executive re-established.
But of course they would argue that how is equality to their advantage? Equality is to everyone's advantage.
I would have to say, Frank, I think that at this present time, in view of some of the things that have happened over the past weeks, it's going to become increasingly difficult for Sinn Féin to hold to these mantras around respect, integrity and equality. It has been a torrid fortnight for Sinn Féin. It's been a torrid fortnight for victims of the Troubles as well. And it's important, I think, that we get an executive established. I think that's good for North Ireland. It's good for government, whether that be education, whether that be the health service, and all of these things. Everything else is being made subservient to the demands of that would be the general view within unionism, not just of one party, but I think generally within unionism, there is a view that Northern Ireland is being held to ransom. That should not be allowed to happen. And if the talks process proceeds, and if there is no agreement, then it would be incumbent on the Secretary of State then to make a decision as to the next step after that, whether that be some form, and you alluded earlier to the various forms of direct rule that there might be, or whether there is some input for an assembly into the direct rule process. It's incumbent on the Secretary of State then to look at her options after that, but we just cannot go on as we have been for the past year.
Okay, Nelson McCausland, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Former MLA with the DUP, Nelson McCausland. I started this by saying, so is there a little ray of hope on the horizon? Well, you can answer that question, having listened indeed to Dahi Mackay and Nelson McCausland. 90333105. Let me speak to commentator and journalist and writer Brian Rowan. Brian, good morning.
Hiya, Frank. Good morning.
Brian, I said, is there a little ray of hope on the horizon? Maybe I should have added a second question, or indeed, are we all been taken for a bit of a spin? What do you make of Karen Bradley's proposed next move?
Well, we talk about these things as new talks, but they are a continuation, if you like, Frank, of the old talks. And I think there's a job of work still to do. There has been some talk, and you discussed it with your previous guests there, some talk in recent days of a better tone. This related to the calming down of that row and fallout linked to the Barry McIlduff Kingsmill video, and that's right. And on this day last week, we heard John O'Dowd and Edwin Poots change that tone. But does that change things in terms of the talks and negotiations and the issues that are on the table? The answer to that question is no. Just read Michelle O'Neill's statement last night, setting out her party's position before she speaks both with the new Secretary of State, Karen Bradley, and the Irish Foreign Minister, Simon Coveney, this morning, making it very clear that while Sinn Féin stands ready to engage in talks, that those talks must be meaningful and must be framed in a way that provides the possibility of a successful conclusion to these critical issues that are outstanding. So Sinn Féin making it clear that it's in listening mode. It wants to hear from the two governments what the proposals for these new talks are, and then they will make that judgment as to whether or not this is a meaningful process with the possibility of achieving agreement. I listened there to Nelson McCausland making it very clear that he's not overly optimistic, this is going to be a difficult negotiation, and repeating Arding Foster's position, which he has set out a number of times, that the executive should be restored immediately and that these other outstanding issues dealt with in parallel. That's not going to happen, Frank, and that's the kind of tug of war and tug of words that continues around these talks.
Is it possible, if you take Michelle O'Neill's statement where she says Karen Bradley, the Secretary of State, is not a neutral broker and has a duty to fulfil her political responsibilities, is it possible for a Secretary of State to be seen by nationalist Republicans as a neutral broker while there is the deal between the DUP and the Tories?
Well, you've heard the build-up to these latest talks, the SDLP, the Alliance Party, all talking about the need for an independent facilitator, someone in that room who the parties have confidence in. So we know this plan. Today at 12 o'clock, there's to be this news conference by the new Secretary of State and the Irish Foreign Minister. We know that there is this intention to resume talks in the middle of next week. And what we're now looking for is the detail within all of that, Frank. Is there going to be any independent facilitation within this process? If not, why not? If not, what are the prospects of success? What is the deadline for these talks? And, in the last year, we've watched elastic deadlines being stretched time and time again. So. What are the new elements to this talks process that is due to begin next week? And that's the detail we're waiting for to emerge in that news conference in a few hours' time.
Do you expect to hear anything in it that will make people think, "Wow, there's a headline for the news"?
No.
I'm searching for optimism here, Brian.
Well, look, I think in many senses people have switched off. I made the point in a couple of interviews earlier this week. Say we have a talks process and say we get an agreement. Will people believe it? That's the real question, Frank. Will they believe it? Because credibility has been drained out of this process by the dysfunctional mess of the past year. People don't believe in Stormont at this time. You know that has gone. So we're going to hear this plan for a new set of talks. But within that new set of talks, Frank, all of those issues that you and I have talked about dozens of times in the past year are still on this table, still unresolved. And you heard Nelson McCausland talk about the mood when Sinn Féin talk about, you know, that respect and equality agenda. What's going to be said back to them at this stage? Barry McIlduff in Kingsmill. So you've got all of that as the backdrop to this new effort to try to get somewhere. But I think in many senses, and I think, you know, Karen Bradley will touch on this, this really is a last chance and a last opportunity. Because how many more rounds of talks can you have, Frank, with the same issues on the table, the same people in the room, the same talking about and talking around those issues, and getting nowhere? I mean, that can't go on much longer. Now, the other option the government would have in all of this, if you don't get an agreement, and I heard you talking to your guests about the possibility of direct rule, before any of that, there is still the possibility of another election. But elections would change numbers, Frank. They don't change issues. But in terms of trying to buy a bit more time, in terms of a last roll of the dice, we don't know if that is within the frame of possibility. But I've no doubt that there has been a better tone in recent days. But there is a difference between a better tone in a television or a radio studio and then what has to happen within a negotiating room. You've made the point that the intention is to involve the five parties, but you also made the point, and you're absolutely right about this, Frank, a deal is only going to be done if you can get a deal between Sinn Féin and the DUP. And whatever happens in these talks, whoever is involved, the principal players, the key players in those talks remain both the DUP and Sinn Féin.
Okay. Brian, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
Welcome,
Brian Rowan, this is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Good morning to you. 90 333 105.